You're listening to Seattle Sports Saturday with Lydia Cruz, Curtis Rogers, and Taylor Jacobs on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Hour number two of Seattle Sports Saturday. If you blink, you're going to miss this one. Coug football coming your way at noon today, actually 12:30. Pregame show begins a half hour from now at 10:30. So we're going to get to scooting here. But before we do, college football scoreboard right now. Number three, Georgia up 10-7 on South Carolina halfway through the second quarter. SEC action. Michigan up 21-0 on Illinois. Temple taking it to number 23, Memphis right now, 16-0 in Philadelphia. And then the Red River Showdown.
It's a bit of a shootout.
It is. Well, it's just seven nothing right now. Oklahoma up on Texas midway through the second quarter. Jalen Hurts with 73 passing yards and a touchdown, also 83 yards on the ground. I mean, another Oklahoma transfer quarterback on the verge of a Heisman Trophy could very well happen.
Could very well. That would be unprecedented.
Three straight. I can't. Man, I think USC did it with Carson Palmer, Matt Leinart. Those guys weren't transfers,
right?
But they went back to back.
Three though, I can't think of any.
I don't think it's ever happened. I'm pretty sure it's never happened. Archie Griffin went back to back. He's the only 2-time winner of the Heisman Trophy, but I don't think any school has ever gone three straight.
That's really cool. I mean, that's really something. We're not Oklahoma fans, obviously, up here in the Northwest, but just to be seeing that in college football right now and the odds of that happening and them all being transfers, like you said, Curtis, wow.
And then some other games yesterday, obviously Oregon with the beatdown of Colorado 45-3. Miami picking up a win over number 20, Virginia 17-9. That's your college football scoreboard. Cougs game coming your way at 10:30 today. So let's not waste any more time. Let's get into this hour's Big Three.
Number one.
Well, you mentioned it, Curtis. Big college football weekend, not only here in the Pac-12, but nationally as well. The Red River Showdown looks to be a shootout. Wink, wink. As number six, Oklahoma, and number 11, Texas, squaring off. Currently, number five, LSU, and number seven, Florida, in the big marquee matchup of the weekend, the battle in the SEC. Game day down there in Baton Rouge. It was Baton Rouge. And let's see, number 10, Penn State, also taking on number 17, Iowa, today. In a classic rivalry, as USC and number 9, Notre Dame, will face off. And don't forget, number 1, Alabama, and Nick Saban have their matchup against Jimbo Fisher. Coaches do not like each other as Texas A&M faces off against Bama down there in the SEC as well. But we mentioned it earlier, also a big day here in the Pac-12. Dogs taking on them Wildcats down there in the desert.
Bear down.
And the Cougs taking on the Sun Devils here in 2.5 hours, but pregame show starting in 25 minutes from now. So keep an eye on the scoreboard, as this is going to be a big weekend in college football.
Number two.
Major League Baseball postseason. Game one of the NLCS was last night, and we nearly saw history as Anibal Sanchez took a no-hitter into the eighth inning against the Cardinals. Cardinals broke it up, but they could not break through and get a run as the Nationals won game one 2-0. They have been on a heck of a run here in the postseason. The wild card game, the Nationals coming back late against the Brewers, winning that one 4-3. They win game five against the Dodgers, coming back late, down 3-1 in the eighth inning. Back-to-back home runs against Clayton Kershaw, and then Howie Kendrick's go-ahead grand slam in the 10th inning, lifting the Nationals to their first ever NLCS appearance in their Washington existence. Could they make it to the World Series before the Mariners do? Well, they're 3 wins away, folks, and that is not good, because if that happens, then that leaves the Mariners as the only team in baseball history, the only team ever to have never made it to a World Series.
Oh, and who pitches tonight?
You got Max Scherzer in Game 2 for the Nationals. Game 2 starts today at 1 p.m. In the American League, Game 1 between the Yankees and Astros from Houston is tonight. Masahiro Tanaka on the mound for New York. Zach Greinke, the number 3 starter. Yeah, Zach Greinke is a future Hall of Famer, and he's the number 3 starter for the Astros. They will each get the start. First pitch is at 5 o'clock tonight. First team to 4 wins gets to the World Series.
Number 3.
Well, Daryl Morey set the world on fire, question mark, as the entire country of China was mad at him. The NBA, tensions arising this past week between the NBA, China, other organizations, other media outlets. It spilled over into the mainstream news as some sponsors pulling their money from the league after the comments. There's the expectation that the cap could be affected by the money lost by Chinese sponsors pulling out of the league. Some players were silent. Some coaches were silent. Some players spoke up. Some coaches spoke up. So a lot of stuff on both sides here. And whether or not, you know, the politics aside, it just has become a national story. And it's even spilled over into esports, as one of the players this past week saying free Hong Kong after his championship win was banned immediately by Blizzard for 12 months and just actually got his appeal over or heard and accepted as the suspension went down from 12 to 6 months. But still, it's spilling all over into regular news, regular corporations, sports news, sports organizations. It's just sort of taken the news or taken the world by storm this past week. The relationship between America and China, the tensions between America and China and China and the rest of the world, and what's happening in Hong Kong and the people fighting for freedom. So something to keep an eye on just as people and sports continue to evolve and politics become a greater part in our lives. And fortunately or unfortunately, whatever you want to view, it becomes a bigger part in everything.
I think the most unfortunate thing about this situation is how the NBA has, over the years, let their players speak their minds freely on certain political issues. And yet when it comes down to a country that is as big of an investor in the NBA as it is with China, where they're generating billions and billions of dollars of revenue for the NBA, that's where you can't speak your mind. That's where they draw the line when it affects their bottom line. And it's almost a double standard. Well, no, it's not almost. It is a double standard because they allow their players to talk so much about domestic issues here in the United States. But as soon as anybody in the NBA touches on a foreign issue like this, and it just so happens to be the general manager of the team that is one of the most watched teams in the country of China, because
yes,
of the, you know, because Yao Ming played in Houston for so many years.
Their heritage jerseys are in Chinese.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, they have such a rich history with the country of China. And it's just one of those things. And to play just devil's advocate here for 1 second, I'm putting on the other hat. You think about it, 15% of the cap is affected by Chinese sponsors. That's a remarkable impact from one country to have on this league. And if you're the NBA, to lose that, you're trying to think about how to stay profitable, how to stay competitive as a league, and not only in this country, but in the world. You got to think about the bottom line if you're in the NBA. That's how you operate. But just, it does go against the way they have operated in the past and the way they've empowered their players, their coaches, their employees to speak their mind, to be free about that. And it's made the NBA, I think, really popular today. So the other edge of the sword is that it can also come back and hurt you in situations like this as well, when you're too closely tied to giving people that freedom, that when you take it away, it's a big, big red mark.
Yeah, you look at the NBA salary cap right now, it is set at $109 million for this upcoming season. 15% of that is $16.35 million.
Per team.
Which is the price of that's a starting five player.
Yeah.
Like, that's a really good player on a team. $16.35 million. If you take away that from the salary cap, all of a sudden now, when you have these supermax contracts, guys like James Harden and Kevin Durant, LeBron James makes like 45, 50.
Giannis million. Is due for a big one,
yeah,
here soon.
John Wall makes over $50 million. When your salary cap is cut by that much, from $109 million to probably like $90 million, all of a sudden you've got a player making 55-60% of a team's salary cap. That kind of money, or those kinds of figures, just, it doesn't make it viable for the NBA to spend where they're at, where they're spending, if they want to put a competitive,
yeah, because most of the time the cap will go up in a league about 5-10% is what we see between the NFL and NBA, the big two salary capped leagues. And to have it go negative 15 is just wild to think about. So, look, I don't want to get into any of the politics and what side we're on or anything like that, but just for the NBA standpoint, what a situation to be in, to be staring down the barrel of being able to empower your employees versus losing 15% of your total wealth. Crazy.
In better news, today there was some history made. Kipchoge ran the first ever sub-2-hour marathon, and he did it 1:59:40.
What?
Like, 20 seconds he beat it by.
Think about that. He is the first human being to exist on this planet to run a sub-2-hour marathon. That's just remarkable. I know it's not the official world record with wind and you know, all of these rules, but that's just wow. Just wow.
Yeah, his mile pace was like 4 minutes and 30 seconds for 26 consecutive miles.
That's insane.
NBA preseason, they had the Brooklyn Nets LA Lakers exhibition game in China. There was like zero media availability for it. Went off. Anthony Davis sprained his right thumb in that one. And then some big fines in the NFL this week. Aaron Jones of the Packers fined $10,000 for taunting Byron Jones on his way to the end zone. One of his four touchdowns on Sunday. And then Earl Thomas fined $21,000 for his hit on Steelers quarterback Mason Rudolph. Rudolph out this week. And the Steelers then signed Paxton Lynch, former Seahawks backup quarterback, to their active roster. And then shout out to the Washington Mystics taking home the 2019 WNBA title, beating the Connecticut Sun in 5 games to win their franchise's first ever WNBA championship. That is this hour's Big Three. We're going to fast forward right ahead to shout outs next.
Text them in
710-710 to the Coors Light text line. We need your shout outs as we bow out early to make way for Cougars football. That's next. Seattle Sports Saturday, 710 ESPN Seattle.
Seattle Sports Saturdays with Lydia Cruz, Curtis Rogers, and Taylor Jacobs.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
Where those shout-outs at, get them into the Coors Light text line, 710-710, as we put a bow on this Saturday. Cougar football coming your way in about 15 minutes with the pregame show. Matt Chasnow, Alex Brink, Jessamyn McIntyre on the call.
Nice.
Shout-out to them. Shout-out to Jess. Just working nonstop during football season. A couple of texts coming in on the Coors Light text line for the shout-outs. 360, shout-out to the Tracytown Thunder Pee-wee football.
Ooh, shout-out, Pee-wee football.
Yeah, getting after it
heads
on
up,
Saturday
guys.
Morning. Yes.
Play safe.
Yeah, keep your heads up.
Yeah.
From the 509, shout-out to Richard Sherman for keeping the art of lying relevant. I don't know if it's ever been relevant.
Yeah.
It's not a good thing to keep alive.
No.
But, yeah, how wild was it this week? We didn't even talk about it because that's just kind of how lame it was. Him accusing Baker Mayfield of not shaking his hand. Video evidence of multiple angles showing that they clearly did embrace before the game. And then him saying, well, you guys just made a big story out of it. It's like, dude, you were the one who brought it up.
Yeah, it's a weird situation. But also I understand, look, these guys need something to get him juiced up, get him amped up and ready to go. And if that's what he's got to do to get himself ready for the game, I guess he's got to use that chip to get himself motivated. But maybe he was thinking about something before the game, like before the coin toss handshake. But you know what? I still like Richard Sherman. I'm not going to lie.
He's a Seattle legend.
He's
going to be in the Ring of Honor in Seattle. And if he makes it in the Hall of Fame one day, he's probably going to get his jersey number retired here. But man, oh man, does that guy like to just create stuff that I guess doesn't need to be there or stuff that only he views as a slight and no one else. I mean, unfortunately, it brings up the memories of his feud with Jim Moore from a few years back. And if you haven't read Jim's column on Richard Sherman this week, please do so. I implore you to do so. It is the best read you will find anywhere about this. It's incredible. It's classic Jim Moore that we all know and love. So make sure that you are checking that out. But just a wild situation. Taylor, who are you shouting out this week?
A couple shout outs. First and foremost, from now on, I think I'm just shouting out Microsoft just for the updates. Every Tuesday, you get a quality security update, keep you from getting, you know, hacked, information, your privacy, they're taken care of over there at Microsoft. So big shout out to them.
Yeah, especially when they update your computer.
Yes.
Makes it run a lot better.
Yes, it does. Every Tuesday since 1995. Air Jordan coming out with their Seattle 10s next Saturday. So Lydia and I will be lining up early morning at Nike Seattle. On Saturday before the show next week. We're going to get a pair, so hopefully we'll be rocking some new kicks next
week. You're not
going
to take an L on the sneakers app?
No, I mean, I will take an L on the sneakers app. That's why I'm going to line up at Nike Town and just get it the old-fashioned way.
There you go.
Just with my hands. And then shout-out to Simone Biles. Now tied for the most ever World Gymnastics Championship medals at 23. Oh, by the way, she's still in her early 20s.
Did you see the video of her boyfriend watching her performance on TV and how, like, over the top invested he was in it? That was hilarious to watch.
She already has four moves named after her, or four sort of, I guess, routines. I don't know the correct terminology. I'm a noob when it comes to gymnastics. But she has four things named after her. Again, 23 medals, still in her – she's not even done yet. Like, she's still probably going to go to maybe two more Olympics.
Yeah, she's certainly going to go to the one next year in, was it Tokyo?
Yes.
That's next year's Olympics. She's a legend of her time and, somebody that the sports world – sleeps on a little too much because it's gymnastics is a sport that we don't pay attention to
non-Olympic
years. Yeah, and so her just continuing to rewrite every single record book that sport has.
I just love seeing greatness, no matter what it is. If you're great at what you do, I want to see it.
Yeah. So my shout out this week, I'm going to go with Shea Serrano.
Yeah,
not just because of him joining us this week, but also him being a New York Times bestselling author and making it a point to support independent bookstores and supporting the WNBA, a league that doesn't get as much media attention as it should get.
Yep.
Independent bookstores and not like the giant retailers of Amazon and Barnes & Noble, which they serve their purpose, but, keeping it local, making sure that, his presence is being felt in these kinds of places and reminding people that, you can buy from here. You don't just have to continue to buy from Amazon and get the one-stop easy click. You physically take yourself to the bookstore and buy the physical copy. And then, him just always spreading good wherever he goes. Shout out to The Storm for showing out last night over at Third Place Books. Just a great time.
We mentioned it earlier. Fun, positivity, all of these great things surround Shay and the work he does and where he goes, these things follow and what he... He's so proud of his heritage and his culture and where he's from in Texas and San Antonio and Houston and his, Latin and Mexican heritage. And just it's so cool to see someone so proud of who they are and so just in touch with who they are that they're willing to just be criticized, celebrated no matter what. And it's just cool to have a guy like Shea Serrano on our side as a sports fan and writing things. And he loves the Sonics. So, come on. How could you not like a guy like that?
Exactly. And also shout out the slate of college football we've got coming today, beginning here in just a matter of moments with the Cougs taking on the Sun Devils. It wraps up with the Huskies taking on the Wildcats from Tucson. And then in the middle of that, you've got LSU in Florida. You've got Texas and Oklahoma going on right now. Just a huge day of college football coming your way. You've got Penn State and Iowa, number 10 against number 17. USC and Notre Dame today. There's just so many classic rivalries going on.
South Carolina up on Georgia right before the second half ends, 17-10. So keep an eye on that one. Oklahoma still up 7-0 on Texas.
Alabama A&M today. Nick Saban is undefeated against former assistants of his. I'm guessing that streak continues today.
I would guess so too.
But Cougs taking on the Sun Devils. Final thoughts before we get to that one. How do you see that one shaking out today?
Yeah, I unfortunately see the Cougs falling just a little short on this one. I think they'll be able to hang with them offensively. I think the Arizona defense will be able to stop the Cougs a couple times, which will be the difference in the game. I think the Cougs fall by 3 points to Arizona State. But I think the Dogs might surprise people today and win by 3, Curtis. I know you don't want to hear that.
I know. If you're watching the stream, you can tell I am Arizona swagged out today.
Look, this is a weird season because I usually root for UW to succeed, but I kind of want everyone to just let the world burn type season. Let's just go full Joker, go full crazy.
I'll say this. The keys for UW to winning quickly here, they're going to need to limit Arizona's explosive plays. Khalil Tate and J.J. Taylor are two guys that can take it to the house from any point on the field.
Yep.
And then they are also going to need to take advantage of Arizona's lack of pass rush. Jacob Eason's going to have a lot of time to throw today because Arizona doesn't rush more than four guys really ever. So he's going to have plenty of time to throw it today. He's got to take advantage of that. To Arizona's credit, though, they are third in the nation in interceptions forced this season with nine. So they have good coverage skills, but I think it's going to be a very close one. Obviously, I'm picking the Wildcats because mm-hmm. I need bragging rights around this office.
Yeah, you do.
Because let's face it, Arizona's athletic department has really taken it on the chin over the last 2 years.
It's been a rough couple of years for my man C-Rod.
It has been. So I'm looking forward to tonight. 8 o'clock, Pac-12, not just after dark, but beyond dark.
Get your coffee ready.
Yeah, it's going to be a late one down in the desert. That's going to do it for us here on this Saturday. Make sure you're downloading the Seattle Sports Podcast, Seattle Sports at Night, or Seattle Sports Saturday.
Woo. You could listen to the night show.
You could, yeah. But it is available wherever it is you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify. We will be back with you next week right here for my man Taylor Jacobs. I'm Curtis Rogers. This has been Seattle Sports Saturday right here on 710 ESPN Seattle.